Yes, another full hour of open lines for you tonight on Coast to Coast AM. Great story about rock legend Bob Dylan. He was treated like a complete unknown by police in a New Jersey shore community when a resident out there called to report someone wandering around the neighborhood. Dylan was in Long Branch, about a two-hour drive south of New York City, on July 23rd as part of a tour with Willie Nelson and John Mellencamp that was about to play at a baseball stadium. A 24-year-old police officer apparently was unaware of who Dylan is and asked him for his identification. The incident happened at about 5 p.m. when a resident said a man was wandering around a low-income neighborhood several blocks from the ocean front looking at houses. The police officer drove up to Dylan, who was wearing a blue jacket, and asked for his name. "What is your name, sir?" the officer asked. "Bob Dylan," Dylan said. "Okay, what are you doing here?" the officer said. "I'm on tour," the singer replied. A second officer, also in his 20s, responded to assist the first officer. He, too, apparently was unfamiliar with Dylan. The officers asked Dylan for identification. The singer of such classics as Like a Rolling Stone and Blowin' in the Wind said that he didn't have any ID with him, that he was just walking around looking at houses to pass some time before the night show. The officers asked Dylan, 68-year-old Dylan, to accompany them back to the Ocean Place Resort and Spa where the performers were staying. When they got there, the tour staff vouched for Dylan. They said, "There he is." The officers thanked him for his cooperation. And a police spokesman says, "You know what? He couldn't have been any nicer to them. What a great guy. Incredible story about Bob Dylan." Now, last week, when some of you called in with some of your musical instruments here on Coast to Coast AM, I told you that I play the harmonica, and I've been getting emails ever since to play this. So let me tell you a little bit about this. When I was younger, my parents wanted me to learn how to play an instrument. And so I took up the clarinet, and that lasted for 2 weeks. I couldn't make a sound with it. I couldn't read notes. I would get headaches. I quit. I gave it up. So about a year or so later, I decided I'm going to play the guitar. And so I bought a folk guitar, and I started taking lessons. That lasted about a week. I couldn't strum it. I couldn't read chords. I couldn't do anything. I could pluck one string at a time, and that was about it. So that was it for my musical career. I decided, you know what, I'm doing this broadcast thing, and I did sing a lot. I was in various clubs and groups and things, and I did that pretty well, and I still do that. But I was never able to master a musical instrument. And then one day, I picked up at a store a harmonica, if I even pronounce it right. Wait till you hear the song. And, you know, I love that. I've never taken lessons. I can't read notes, and I'm not very good at this. But because I promised you that I would play this, I shall. So I'm going to play a rendition from Blowing in the Wind, and then we'll do our commercial and get back with open lines. Now bear with me. Here we go. That's about the best I could do. How about that? And welcome back to Open Lines. Let's pick it up by going to Fairmont, West Virginia. Jimmy, you're up with us. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good. Tonight? Not bad.
Excellent. First off, I'd like to say thank you and your predecessor for this open forum.
You are welcome.
It's a great thing. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Have any of your guests ever talked about the fact that global warming is being caused by the fact that the magnetic field is going down to go into that 3,000-year dormancy period before the polarity flips? And when you think about it, the currents in the deep ocean are changing position, and the temperatures are changing as well down there, which is, of course, giving us the atmospheric changes.
Yes.
Has anyone ever mentioned this to you? That
Robert Felix, who's written a book called Not by Fire, but by Ice, about the coming ice age, has talked about the magnetic fields and ocean currents, and is a staunch believer that those are reasons why we're having this kind of massive climate change right now. Not a lot of other people have done that. I happen to think, and this is what's interesting, I'm starting to see polls now where many Americans are beginning to believe that global warming may indeed be cyclical, that this planet does this every so often, and they're not sure anymore of the old global warming agenda. That's changing.
Well, it's illogical in the other direction. I mean, it's quite obvious. We've been seeing that the magnetic field is going down for, about 300 years. Sailors have been using it, to map where they are in the ocean, and they've been, charting the magnetic field changes for at least 300 years.
Easy. We're in a cycle. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely. And that earlier caller that wants to write a book, I hope he's read The Alien Agenda by Jim Mars,
yeah.
Because, he wants to write a book. Hopefully he's read that one. And an earlier guest, absolutely. Angels are real. Once you've had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, you'll get it. And for, the guy who, about UFOs is, quite skeptical. I think it was the same guy that needs to read about Jim Mars. I was waiting for you to mention to him about Dr. John Mack there, but think about this. There's so many people having encounters. It has to be something coming from outside of this time space and interacting from here. Think about it. When we look at the fact of how, light works in this universe, the fact that most of it's happening either in dark energy or in dark matter, which I don't know what it comprises, 98% or something.
Well, and with so many people experiencing something strange, it's happening to them, it's real to them, whatever it is, and it needs investigation, serious investigation.
Well, I think it's already been investigated, and when the government says there are no UFOs, they're not lying because they know what they are. They have been identified.
They have identified them. Hey, thanks for the call. Let's move on to Rosemead, California. Steve, it's your turn. Good morning.
Hi, George. It's a pleasure to speak with you. A quick perspective on the UFO phenomena and a question to you.
Sure.
I first started my curiosity with UFOs when I was about 8 years old. My father handed me a Life magazine with the pictures of Rex Heflin's pictures he took in Santa Ana back in 1965. And ever since then, I've been following the UFO phenomenon. And I started with books, many books, and documentaries. And then I started looking at the cases that were happening. And then I start seeing the videotapes that were being shown that looked so authentic. The people that were coming out in the military saying this is what happened to them. The New Zealand video film that was filmed by the news crew. Mandel, Walton, Zamoro.
It's all over. Over the place.
And then some stories I read that Nixon took Jackie Gleason
down to Homestead.
Yes, yep. Seeing the aliens. And Eisenhower meeting the UFO aliens in Andrews Air Force Base. And then I started, as time was going by, I started looking up and following Ted Phillips, Richard Dean, Bruce be George Knapp, of course, Richard Dolan, and of course Stanton Friedman. I just read his book, Science and UFOs. I became a true believer. So I started concluding, well, now, how is the UFO phenomena going to become real to the American people? Well, I don't feel the government...
Outside of a landing on the White House lawn, right?
Exactly. The government, NASA, they're not going to come out and say it. I feel that the aliens are there, the UFOs are there. I think they're going to make themselves known to us when they are ready to. I feel the crop circles are giving us a sign at this moment, are preparing us that they're going to be making themselves known. And my question to you is that what do you think is going to happen, how and when, that it becomes real to the American public where the government will not be able to deny it?
Well, I agree with you. First of all, I don't think there's going to be a full disclosure by governments. Stephen Bassett differs with me. He thinks it's coming and it's coming soon. I think governments will continue to hide this and suppress this. Steve, they just don't want us to know about it. I think if we find out about it, that's the way it's going to be done, where these ETs reveal themselves to us when we're ready, not necessarily when they're ready. I think they're ready now. I don't think we are. You look at the things that happen on this planet overall, and even though I think we have a great many of tremendous people on this planet, we've got that core of people who aren't, and they're creating massive problems for the rest of us. And I don't think they want us to know of their existence that way. So they continue to do it in this very covert way. Newbury Park, California, first-time caller. Mario, welcome to the show.
Hey, viewers. Hi, George. I'm glad to be here.
Sure thing.
I got a good thing to tell you. First of all, I hope that everybody in the East Coast is going to be okay. I have a little prayer for them that this prediction about the 15th is not going to happen to them.
Of any year.
Of any year. You're right. Okay. But anyways, let me go back to, I used to be a stage manager in the late 80s, in 1987 in specific, and my story is about a ghost sighting. One of the most majestic sights I've ever seen in my life.
All right, tell me, here in the L.A. area?
Yes, in Silver Lake, California.
Okay.
Anyways, I was a young 20-something-year-old man, and it was a Saturday morning, and we had a downtime, meaning there was no shooting on the stage. We used to do commercials and rock videos at the time. And I had a crew of three or four guys at the time. We were winding up cables and putting lights away, and I was going to close up shop at about 11 o'clock that morning. So I'm lying down on the ground, and the only light coming into this old sound stage, which again was a Max Sennett stage, which they did silent films back in 1911. And I'm lying down on the ground, and the only light coming in is from the, I guess what you call the lift gate, where the trucks would back up lights.
Right, right.
Okay, it's a beautiful old wooden building, almost like a barn. And the height of the transit beams are 35 feet tall. And there's only one way up, which is a ladder built against the wall. So my mind was zoning out, and I'm just kind of looking up. And back then, I used to smoke cigarettes, which was 60 pounds ago. And anyways, I'm looking up, and I see a gentleman, a short-statured man wearing like a wool pants, an off-white shirt rolled up to the elbows, and a hat crawling across the transit beam. So I got up, and I started to call to him. I said, hello, hello, and thinking this was a man from the day earlier,
right,
which we had a shoot. And this gentleman was walking very slowly, almost like a ballet across, very quietly and naturally, unaware of anything going around him. And his light was, he had like a phosphorus blue hue to him, around him. And he almost looked like William Frawley. Remember? From Lucy Show?
Yeah, absolutely.
An older-looking gentleman from that time walking across a transit beam. In other words, he'd put his foot across this way, his hand would touch this piece of wood, and so on. But the odd thing about it, he was offset, meaning when you trace a drawing and you kind of push the paper off, he was off by about a half a foot where he should be.
Yeah, out of kilter.
Yeah, I don't know what caused that. Maybe the earth moved or whatever. So I went up there, and in those days we had the big mag lights as a flashlight, big old heavy. And I crawled up there thinking, I'm going to get this guy. And I crawled up maybe 30-something feet up, and I put my light on the transit beam. Nobody was there. The hairs on my arm stood up. I crawled back down, sat outside, smoked my last cigarette. I was so freaked out because all of us knew that there was odd things that would happen in that building. We knew that it was an old, old building. It was made by Max Sennett for Mabel Normand, and she only made 3 movies there. And we used to feel weird things, or people would say this or that. But when I saw that, and again, it lasted maybe 15 seconds, it was a very beautiful thing. It was a natural thing. I got freaked out, yeah. But, you know, here I am. I'm 50 years old now, and I'm very glad that I saw this.
Isn't that amazing? And the story from you, too, Mario, is fantastic because, I mean, you truly are a witness, an eyewitness to something like this. I wonder, do you know if anybody died in that facility, or maybe whoever it was had such a great time, just wanted to come back again?
Well, we used to have a researcher come in from Los Angeles, he back in the 80s, and his name was Gene, and he used to bring us photos and tell us historical things. But in those days, I don't think anybody kept records of this person died or fell off or whatever.
Right.
You know, but like I said, this gentleman was in his late 50s. He was small in stature, kind of like William Frawley. And again,
maybe it was him.
Oh, I don't know.
You never know.
Yeah, initially I was freaked out, but now that I reflect upon it, it was a very natural, very beautiful thing. And I hope he's still there to this day, crawling across that beam.
How cool is that?
Getting his tool.
Thanks, Mario.
Thank you, George.
That's
bye-bye.
A great story. Great story indeed. We've got about a minute or so before the break. I want to tell you a little bit about what's in store next week. And I will be back in just a moment, by the way, with more of your open line. So those of you on hold, don't go away. Andrew in Jackson, Tennessee, you'll be one of the first. I looked at that real quick, and for a moment I thought Andrew Jackson was calling me, time traveler. You never know. Okay, on Monday, Patrick Burns joins us, The Other Side. A teen's guide to ghost hunting and the paranormal. We may have some EVP sounds. We may. I say may because we always listen to them first. And, you know, if you can't hear them in a studio, you're not going to hear them on a radio show because they just don't work. But we're checking into that. So many people have written me, said, you've got to get Nassim Hedamain on. And we are getting Nassim on Tuesday as we talk about hyperspace, theoretical physics, and in a way of understanding the universe through Nassim Hedamain. Mark Stavish joins us on Wednesday as we talk about astral projection and lucid dreaming. And then a group of people join us, Cece Stevens and group, about paranormal skulls, crystal skulls, Mayan and Hopi prophecy as well on Coast to Coast AM. I'll be back with more open line calls. Don't touch that dial. Well, open lines will continue in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And again, we'll go with you, Andrew, out there in Jackson, Tennessee. You've been on hold the longest, so we'll be right back with you as well. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And as promised, we go to Andrew in Jackson, Tennessee. Andrew, thanks for holding so long.
Oh, it's fine.
There you go.
I was calling about the Frank boxes that you guys were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Two things about them. One was that they mentioned a rock falling into the water, and I was over at a friend's house the other day, and his dad was talking about how it's around his birthday, and one time on his birthday they were watching meteors fly across the sky, and how that happens this time of year, and I was thinking about that and how that could be a possibility, and the other thing is that people are talking about California falling off into the ocean, too.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple earthquake experts about that. They don't think that's physically possible. But you know what? I'm not so sure. That's kind of scary.
Well, we don't know. People are so small, and there's no way that we can be an expert on something that big of a landmine.
And who knows what could crack underneath all this mass and everything else.
But, yeah, I'm only 18, so I'm fairly new to our world and already been listening to your show for a while, and I'm a first-time caller, so...
By the time you're done listening, Andrew, you'll have a PhD in life on this program.
That's cool.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye.
All right. Let's go to Sacramento, California. Rego, you're up with us. Hi there.
Hi, it's Rego, but whatever, it's cool.
I'm close.
Close enough. Hey, man, I want to bash people who believe in Bigfoot or Sasquatch or whatever you want to call him.
Okay, tell me why.
Because he's existed for so long, but how is he immortal? Does he have family? You know, do they reproduce?
If they exist, I'm sure they reproduce. We're not talking about just one. That
I mean, you've had callers that said that they've kind of seen one and they've kind of, you know, they've kind of taken a picture or whatever, you know. But how does it exist for so long?
Well, there's many. It's just like us, Rigo. I mean, look at all the people. We've been around for thousands of years.
More than one, though. There's nobody that's seen more than one.
What do you mean there's nobody that has seen more than one? They've seen them in groups.
Well, then why didn't you let the Marines shoot one? You should let the Marines shoot one.
No.
So he has proof.
I don't think I want the thing shot. Why do you want it shot?
So there's physical proof. If we can take an alien and cut him up for an alien autopsy, why couldn't we do that with a Sasquatch?
What if a Sasquatch is almost human? Brain, everything. Maybe it's hiding. It doesn't want to be found. And we're going to go shoot it?
At least one of them.
You can't do that. You know, it's like shooting somebody who's in your family. You can't do that.
Well, he's not in our family, though. Not immediately.
Oh, yeah. Does that mean you're going to shoot your neighbor because they're not in your family?
If they do something bad.
Rego.
Thanks a lot, George.
Okay, my friend. Take care. Let's go to Frankfort, Kentucky. Stan, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Stan.
All right, George. Nice to talk to you. I had two real quick questions and then another one, maybe, hopefully.
All right.
I thought you said a long time ago that you had a book on meditation. Did you write one?
Well, I wrote one with Bill Burns called Worker in the Light, but the one I like is called The Magic of Believing, which is a great book, too.
I'm writing the name down. Okay.
And if you want to get mine, go ahead. But, I mean, I like The Magic of Believing. It's a little tiny red book. You can get it on Amazon.com for $5-6, I think, something like that.
All right. I'll check that. The other thing, you said something about turmeric a long time ago.
Yes, it still do. I love that spice.
I got some. I was wondering how much you take. I got 500 milligram tablets.
I take one a day. Christian Wild, our guest, recommends that you take more than that, but I take one a day, one of those a day.
Okay. Now, let me ask you if I'm going to try to play a few things and try to put this together for my question, I hope, somehow. I know you've interviewed thousands of guests and or maybe more and on all kinds of subjects, and the UFOs and the ghost, and that's really interesting to me. But I heard a guy the other day on your show talking about ghosts, and it was, I'm real simple behind it, I guess, but it was so complicated. It is his explanation of a ghost.
Well, that must have been John Kachuba on Tuesday night.
Okay. I just had always heard, and especially if from the Bible, that ghost is exactly, in the Bible at least, ghost is exactly the same as spirit. Ghost and spirit is the same exact thing, like Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost. And let's see, UFO is an unidentified flying object, which could be anything that you don't know what it is there.
Right,
I think.
Could be a bird. Okay. If you don't know what it is, that's what it is, a UFO.
Yeah, and let's see, another thing, let's see, that could be related. Oh, spirit. Well, I always did think of a ghost as the spirit world, could be demons or good. Well, a lot of people call it angels, but angel, I think, just means messenger. But the good or the bad, at least that's what I thought, could be there in the spirit world.
Like I agree with you.
Okay, good spirit or bad spirit. And a bad spirit we would refer to as a demon.
Right.
Okay. Now, Paul, in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 15, a lot of people call it the resurrection chapter, which is life after death chapter for Paul. He said there are beings terrestrial and beings celestial. And the celestial would be a heavenly means heavenly, a heavenly body or heavenly
mm-hmm.
being.
Mm-hmm.
And a terrestrial is like the word terrapin. Here in Kentucky, we had dry and terrapins that crawl around on the road. When it gets dry, they go looking for some water, but they don't live in the water like a turtle, but it's a land dweller. So there are people that, according to him and according to Revelations, that would be on in the future on the earth. Some people would live on the earth, and some would live in heaven. That was two types of beings for an eternal existence. And then one day, this is what I'm wanting to ask. I think one of your guests made mention, or at least hinted about it, and it just kind of shocked me, and I've been wanting to ask and then get your opinion.
All right,
I've been
for
wanting
it.
To ask for a long time. He was hinting, at least, or I don't know if he said that for sure, but about it, these, not UFOs, but the extraterrestrials that possibly come down here could be demons, or I think maybe said are demons.
Yes.
or a spirit.
Let me explain that to you. There have been a number of guests who believe that extraterrestrials are demons, that they're not from planets like you would be and I would be, some other planetary system. They believe that they are demons from another realm, visiting us to trick us, to do evil things to us, and there are several people who believe that. As a matter of fact, Jacques Vallée, I don't know if you remember the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, but the French person in the movie depicted Jacques Vallée, who believes that these are messengers of deception, and he believes they're demons as well. So there's a big camp out there, Stan, that does that. Let's take a few more calls here as this night clicks along. Long Beach, California. John, you're up. You're near the Queen Mary, no doubt, huh?
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, some other time I'll tell you, I'm still a newspaper guy, but I spent a night in the pool area one night, the most haunted part. And I nothing happened there, but I went to my room and I had a weird experience. I'll tell you that some other call.
Oh, you got it.
I want to say hi to the caller from Fairmont, West Virginia. It's about 70 miles from my hometown of Parkersburg, West Virginia. But anyway, here's what I wanted to mention. The woman that called up last hour and said, you know, what does it all mean? You know, time slipping by.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We all go through that as we get older. I'm in my 50s. But, you know, I thought one time, I had this debate. You know, I majored in philosophy in college, or at least I took enough courses to make myself dangerous. And, you know, sometimes I think that you could just make the case that humans, because we're maybe accidentally as intelligent as we are, that we're the only beings, physical, you know, animals on Earth that can contemplate our own death. You know, I don't think dogs, and I don't know for sure, but I don't think dogs and cats sit around and philosophize about this thing. But we do. And because we have finite bodies, but minds that can contemplate forever, even by, you know, because of math, for one thing, we know the numbers can go on forever. We can contemplate things only in other dimensions that we can't as physically feel. That we think, well, is this all there is to it? We can contemplate forever, but we can't live it. We can't experience it. And I think that maybe we might be so intelligent we try to create some of these situations and look for meaning when in fact it could just be this colossal joke on us that we are just too intelligent for our own good. You know what I'm saying? We sit around and George Norrie goes, you know, and I think it's Man of La Mancha where the guy says, you know, they're on the battlefield and most people die on the battlefield. Don't ask why do I die. They ask why did I ever live?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, George Norrie may one day say, you know, I've done a talk show myself. Is this all life is about for me? Just that, you know, and you've done great in your life, I'm just saying, but a lot of people, you know, is this all I meant to be a millwright, you know, to work on the assembly line?
See, I don't think I've done enough, John.
I'm
obsessed
that,
with
right.
this.
Yeah, I mean, but maybe it's just because we're too intelligent for our own bodies, for our own good, that somehow, you know, we can contemplate death And it scares us because we think, well, you know, we can perceive forever or think about it or at least contemplate it, but we can never experience it. You know,
I mean, you're 50 what right now?
50.
I'm 56. All right, 50s. 10 years from now, you'll be 66. 10 years from now, I'll be 69.
God willing, the creek don't rise.
I mean, we're getting up there in age.
Right.
And these days go by fast. When I think of my last 10 years, I don't know where they went. They went by way too fast. And if that's any indicator, man.
I have young children, so it helps. You know, it gives me a little bit more of a time frame. You know, it's not as going as fast as others, I guess. But I'm
slow it down. Yeah.
My point is just this, that maybe it's just the fact that we do it to ourselves because we, you know, we can contemplate death. And that's what we do the thing about meaning of life.
But do you find that the older you get, the more you contemplate death?
No, I think I got over that. I don't know.
Good for you.
But here's one thing. I mean, we'll never know until you're sitting there on the death. I tell you one thing. I'd rather go quick than sitting there lying there. I think a lot of times when people commit suicide when they're on their deathbed, it's because they want to have some control over the end. You know, I mean, because I think it'd be really hard to sit there and just know what is going to happen at any moment, but you can't control it. And sometimes people take that extra pill or something just to have that control.
I don't want to be on a respirator.
Right. And I've given, you know, instructions to my kids, you know, don't prolong, you know, don't be ridiculous about it, you know, and things like that. But I just think that we have this belief that maybe there should be more for all of us. You know, you get to a point, well, have I done enough? You know what I mean? People give up good paying jobs, you know, to go out and work and, you know, join the Peace Corps or something. You think, well, why would they do that? Because they're searching for meaning in their life.
True. Absolutely.
You know? Okay. Thank you.
All right, my friend. I want to go behind the mic one day. That's it. And they'll play a tape and say he's not coming back. And that'll be it for me. But that's the way I want to do it. I don't know when, but a long time from now. Barbara in Myrtle Beach, California. Lots of callers from Cali.
It's Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Oh, how about that?
You had a gentleman on there before regarding an accident. He was from Tennessee.
Yes.
In Georgia.
Yes.
Well, this is really odd. The girl that was in the accident is a good friend of mine. And I just want to tell you, before this all happened, the day before, she was a college student, and I had said to her, I'm going to call her Sue. I said, Sue, I wanted to buy you an angel. I believe in angels. I said, I've looked all over and could not find you an angel, but she's going to be there with you.
That's cool.
And, George, I want to tell you, that accident, I have pictures of the car. That girl got out of there alive.
An angel saved her.
Exactly.
There's no way she should have got out of there.
She should not have gotten out of there. There's a hole in the floor, and she drives with her left leg back. If her foot was where that hole was, I think it would have been cut off.
See, when people will call, they're entitled to their opinion, but
right.
They don't believe in this.
No, they don't.
I don't understand. There's got to be something out there that does this. You know, when you get calls from truck drivers who say that they fell asleep, they were going over a cliff, and they woke up and saw a hand on their steering wheel pulling them back on the road, and there was nobody else in the cab. I mean, what's that going to tell you? Or a guy who says he was drowning in the ocean. He went out swimming, and he went under. He was gone, floating down, sinking. He sees a hand break through the water and reach down to him. He grabs it. It pulls him out. He's gasping for air, but he's alive. Turns around to thank whoever saved him. In the middle of the ocean, there's nobody there. What was it?
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio.
Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century.
Those of you in Albuquerque, New Mexico, in that area, circle November 14th on your calendar. I'll be out there for our event with KKOB. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.